Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
Hey, Desi. We have some exciting stories to get to today.
Mm.
Our top story is a local story. And one of our mutual friends posted on Facebook today. She witnessed this.
I saw that post and I was hoping we would be talking about this story because it's a topic we like to talk about.
This is right up our alley.
Yeah.
Our friend Riley Silverman posted that she was stuck on the It's a Small World ride at Disneyland because a naked man started streaking and was going through the ride and had run up right alongside their boat.
Were they in the area where you load on and off?
Well, let's read this story from This is from Deadline. Disneyland park guest arrested after stripping off clothes on It's a Small World ride. Mm. A Disneyland park guest in Anaheim, California was arrested and escorted off the property by local authorities after stripping off their clothes during the It's a Small World attraction. The incident happened on Sunday afternoon during the busy Thanksgiving holiday weekend. A Disneyland resort representative told Deadline that the, maybe it'll be on Dateline later.
We don't know. We don't know how deep it goes.
They told Deadline that the guest got off the ride while it was in motion and the attraction was stopped when park operators were made aware of the situation. So this guy was arrested. And then It's a Small World was shut down for about an hour as park operators inspected the attraction.
Whoa.
Why did they inspect it?
Maybe a shit. Maybe there was a shit happening.
If that was the case, then this story would be practically tailor-made for Hollywood Crime Scene.
It's almost perfect.
No guests were harmed physically during the incident, and the ride resumed operations at about 3 p.m. local time. So it sounds like these ride goers were stuck on It's a Small World for an hour.
So, wow.
I should have DM'd Riley.
I need more information.
And asked her, I need to know everything. How long were you on the ride? Were people getting antsy?
I want to know where the stripping took place, or the streaking.
Video, okay, I'm going to show you a picture.
Okay.
Video of the incident went viral on social media with clips being shared. One video shows the guest walking through the sets of the It's a Small World without a shirt on.
Oh, so he was in the ride.
This guy was all up in the ride.
That's my dream. To walk around.
Up close and personal with
just like to
puppets.
Walk around the world.
I love It's a Small
Me
World.
Me too.
I love it. Another
Not the ride you want to be stuck on, though.
No.
With that song going.
Terrifying. Mm. It is, I mean, look, it's a great ride. It's one of the oldest rides at Disneyland, but it is rather creepy.
Absolutely love it. I'm obsessed with the artist who designed it, Mary Blair. I'm always looking for her stuff. She's so cool.
You know the artist?
Yes. She was one of the first women to work for Disney back in the day. She's like a very famous illustrator, and her style is Small World.
Oh.
Like, even her illustrations are kind of Small World style. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Another
video shows the person sitting and touching the animatronics.
Oh, my God.
That decorate the ride located within the Fantasyland area of Disneyland Park. One guest is heard telling the streaker to, quote, please stop.
And, sorry. That just makes it funnier.
And to sit down as they made their way throughout one of the scenes of the ride set in India. So during the India portion of the ride.
I know that part.
I do too. Another park guest is heard worrying that the person might ruin and cause damage to the props.
That's a good worry.
That would be my concern.
Yeah.
There's several tweets about this. I am on Small World and there was a streaker. I cannot believe this is happening.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
This is from Ashley Escada. This is, she posted a picture. Let me show you the picture of this guy. He's a young looking guy.
He's probably on mushrooms.
He.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like he has to be on something. Okay. Here, he's wearing Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
Oh, that's not good.
And he's naked. He's kind of hairy. He's kind of cut too.
Ooh.
He's got some abs.
Oh, wow. Oh, I was like, what's that thumbs up he's holding? But it's in. Oh, I see. Those are glasses. It almost looks like he has black eyes. So this is outside.
This is outside of the ride before he went in.
Got it. So he got naked and then just walked right in. I want to see him in India. Like, I need to see him in the ride. Do you know what I mean? Like,
let's see if
there's got to be an image.
Let's see if there's another picture of this. Oh, oh my God. Here's the video of him in India. Okay. I wonder if the music's on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's just sitting in India. He's at the Taj Mahal. He's in that pool in front. Oh, yeah. He's sitting in the pool in front of the Taj Mahal. He does have underwear on.
Stop, please.
It would be funnier if his ding dong was hanging out. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Why is he just in the Taj Mahal?
Okay, this guy is clearly under the influence. This is, honestly, this is something out of the 70s.
Yeah, that guy we talked about, the Oscar streaker.
This is, yeah, and not even just because he's streaking. It just feels like this whole event is something that is, like, from the past.
Because they're so strict at Disneyland. Stuff like this just does not happen.
It doesn't.
But he isn't naked, so it's not quite streaking.
Well, he was naked in that first picture.
So he put his shorts back on. He's showing some respect.
Or maybe he started out in the ride with his undies on, and then he went outside the ride.
Right. Like, I'm curious, did he get off the boat and step into the Taj? That's what they call it.
Why did he choose? And why did he choose the India portion of the ride?
He was having a spiritual experience.
He's like, this is my Eat, Pray,
He's
Love.
He's like, this is like when the Beatles did transcendental meditation.
I need to know everything about the. Oh my God, somebody even put a GIF of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
Underneath, because he's wearing the Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
Okay, I'm obsessed if he got out of the boat and walked into the, because that always is like, I'm like, it's right there.
It's right there.
Also, I'm always like, do you get electrocuted in the water? Because it's like the electronic stuff is under there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you step in there?
I guess. I mean, this guy
He just stepped. It's probably not that deep.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I need to know.
I can't believe Riley witnessed this. This is so exciting.
I
never
know.
Witnessed anything at Disneyland like this.
I really should have reached out to her before we started recording, but
yeah. We'll get a statement from her. And we'll read it on the air.
We are going to get a statement.
We've got to get a statement.
Anyway, wow, what an exciting local story. We will keep you updated on this because it's very exciting. This is another local story that I was afraid we weren't going to get to because it was Thanksgiving. This is from KTLA. A former Los Angeles area Taco Bell employee is suing the company and a franchise owner after she claims a Christmas party at the fast food restaurant descended into a drunken mess that included open sex.
So this is like a staff party?
At Taco Bell.
Love it.
Alana Becciam filed her lawsuit last week in Los Angeles Superior Court. She alleges that her supervisor invited her to the December 18th, 2022 party at the San Pedro Taco Bell at which she worked. So these Taco Bell workers had a work party, I guess, after hours at Taco Bell.
That's so fun.
Like you close down and then you can have all like the cinnamon sticks you want.
And you just fucking fry things.
Yeah.
You probably are like, let's just throw that in the fryer. Why not?
That was like my favorite episode of Beavis and Butthead. Do you remember that?
No.
It was okay. It was when they were working at the fast food joint and they were just frying everything.
I mean, I never worked in a place that had a fry basket.
That'd be dangerous for me.
I would be frying everything, but I did work at a yogurt store and I did do lots of combinations. And I also put it directly into my mouth. That like log that comes out. I just put it right into my mouth.
That's so, so vulgar. So she was encouraged to bring food for a potluck style buffet.
What?
That's weird. Why wouldn't you just eat the food there? You're at a Taco Bell.
So they're just using it as a venue.
That's sad.
Yeah.
There's only one reason to use Taco Bell as a venue, and it's to have unlimited Taco Bell.
Right. I mean, at this point, I'd be like, wait, we're hanging out at work?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
And this lady brought a bowl of guacamole.
What? She's like, this is real guacamole.
Yeah, to be fair, that makes sense because I don't know if I've ever had guacamole from Taco Bell.
I think I've had it on things, but I've never gotten it like with chips its own thing.
It's probably not even guacamole. It's probably like guacamolito sauce.
Yeah.
Like it's like a blend of stuff.
Usually they blend it with some kind of dairy item.
And like a crema.
Yes.
Once she arrived, Betsy M., quote, discovered that her supervisor covered the windows of the restaurant with wrapping paper.
Ooh.
And also covered... and also covered the cameras for the lobby inside of the restaurant. She claims that her supervisor provided alcohol to staffers, several of whom were, quote, overserved. Around midnight... after Betchium had stepped outside for a short time, she walked back into the restaurant and saw a coworker, quote, having sex with his wife in front of everyone at the party.
This party is so funny to me. I'm sorry this woman was traumatized, but like, what is going on here? This guy's balling out as the Taco Bell manager.
And he's having sex with his wife.
Was that the manager having sex with his wife or some other guy?
It was just a coworker.
Okay.
The coworker's wife, Betchium claims, was also kissing her female manager and another female coworker at the same time.
Wow.
This is like a hot Taco Bell orgy.
Crunchwrap. They call that move the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Shocked, disgusted, and outraged, Betchium alleges that she first ran out of the restaurant, but then went back inside to retrieve her guacamole bowl.
This is where she loses me.
Wait, but I got this would be me, is I would like flee the restaurant completely disgusted and outraged and be like, well, I kind of like that bowl I brought.
Right, but I wouldn't be that. I would definitely not do it if I felt truly traumatized, I don't think. I'd be like, I have to get that bowl tomorrow, though.
they're gonna use that bowl for something you're not gonna like.
They're gonna have sex with that bowl.
That bowl is gonna be filled with cum.
They're gonna rub their penis on it.
Only to find that... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Only to find that her manager and the other coworker involved in the sexual encounter were vomiting.
What? Okay, now I'm traumatized.
One threw up in the trash while the other vomited into her guacamole.
Yes! I was hoping. I literally was like, please be in her bowl. Because this is why she's suing. That's what crossed the line. Why did they grab her bowl? This party. These people think they can party, but they actually do not know how to do it.
Betchium says she reported the incident to Taco Bell Human Resources and Alvarado Restaurant Group, the Colorado-based franchise. The manager and her other coworkers involved in the sexual encounter were fired, the complaint states. After their termination, Betchium alleges she was threatened and had her car window shattered by someone associated with her former coworkers.
They're mad.
They're like, you...
You rat. You rat. We thought you were cool. We invited you.
We let you bring your guacamole.
I need to know why they invited her. Like, did they must have thought she was cool.
It was their holiday party.
So a lot of other people were there and they didn't sue. Right? They didn't. Their bowls were fine.
After... Taco Bell and the franchise, quote, did nothing about these threats and instead told her that they were transferring her to a new location rather than disciplining the employees who threatened her. Betjeam eventually quit and alleges that, quote, she has suffered actual consequential and incidental financial losses and that Taco Bell violated anti-discrimination laws. KTLA reached out to Taco Bell and the Alvarado Restaurant Group for comment. While we don't own or manage this location, the franchise who owns and operates this restaurant has shared that they take these claims very seriously, a Taco Bell spokesperson said.
Imagine being like an HR person and someone comes in with this story. You're probably like, what?
Honestly, I totally believe this woman, but the story is so outrageous, it almost sounds made up.
I believe her. But I feel like there's some key points missing.
What led to these, it sounds like four or five coworkers and like someone, including someone's spouse, to just start fucking at the Taco Bell?
That's why I feel like it was a planned event. And why would they include her knowing she wouldn't be, you know what I mean? You don't bring someone like that along unless you know they're down. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm having a sex party where we're going to be fucking papering the windows, I'm not going to invite someone who might narc.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not saying she was down for it all. Maybe it got way crazier than she thought.
Yeah.
But I feel like why did they invite her?
That's why I'm thinking this really, at least in the suit, it sounds like she thought this was a regular office Christmas party. And the first sign of trouble is seeing that all these windows are wrapping papered up.
Right. But they still invited her knowing what they were going to do, right?
Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they just got so horny.
I guess. I just feel like I'm missing some details. And I do believe that they were pissed that she got them fired.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But
these are also probably pretty young people, right?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe the manager was older.
Maybe, but
it is probably horrifying to see your manager at work getting fucked.
I mean, I like the idea that it is a 21-year-old manager.
It could be.
You don't know. It could be. They could be range, but it's probably like under 40, all of them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Somebody was married. It was someone's wife, and the wife... Or at least two female coworkers were making out with each other.
I just feel like these people had done this before. That's why I'm curious they brought in a noob.
But I think there was more people than just her there. I bet what I'm imagining, I need like a whole invite list.
That's what I need. I feel like I'm missing details. Because like, was it 50, 20 people there? And other people were disturbed, but just not as disturbed as her? And she, obviously this is a violation.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying she wasn't in the right. She's absolutely like, this is inappropriate for a boss to do at the workplace. There's no doubt about that. But if other people were there, like I could see this happening to me and be like, bye, I'm out of here. But this is an amazing story. I can't wait to tell everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like I for sure would be like, holy shit, what the hell? But I wouldn't want to be there for that. It would like creep me out.
It would be disgusting.
But I want to know like, why she, what the deal was. Because if she was kind of uptight, why would they invite her to something like this?
I mean, look, I don't think you have to be uptight to not want to see your manager get fucked.
I don't either, but it's to tell on them is another level, right?
I mean, I understand. It is a work thing, and that is a violation.
But I wouldn't tell on them, even if I was disturbed.
You just want to tell on the podcast.
That's right. I need this information. And what if it happens again? I'm just saying there's a different level of person I think would tell, right?
Yeah. So why'd they invite everyone?
I would just say I would think they'd know, don't invite Karen or whatever. She'll definitely tell. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm curious. Why they invited her.
Yeah.
Did she seem into it?
Did they? I don't. I don't think when they sent these invitations out.
So you think this sex happened randomly?
I think it was spontaneous Taco Bell sex.
Really?
Yes.
Because why'd they paper up the windows?
Oh, that's true. Well,
because it seems intentional to me. They're like, orgy time. Bring your guacamole. We'll bring the dildos or whatever. Like, I need to know what the party, like, I need to hear from the sex people.
I need to hear what they were thinking. I need to hear if this was something that got out of hand or if they were cynically trying to have a sex party at their place of work. And they invited this woman completely disregarding her personal space and safety.
Right. And thinking, or did they think she was down?
Or did they think she was down in some sick way?
Because maybe they're like, bring the guacamole. And that was code for something.
But
she showed up with it.
And then they got so resentful that she actually brought a bowl of guacamole that they barfed in it.
Yeah. Them barfing in the bowl truly made it high comedy, though, I have to say. I just picture her, the party food, like on one of the little tables. Yes. So it was right there where they were fucking and they had to like barf in it.
Yeah.
That is so funny because it's like, was there guacamole still in it? Do you know what I mean? I have questions.
How much of the guac, were they barfing because of the guacamole?
Was no one even eating the guacamole? Do you know what I mean?
How empty was it?
It was like, she's like, oh, no one's even eating the guacamole. I'm going to go get it. Go back and get that. So that was expensive. It is expensive.
I do want updates on this. We should find out if there's going to be a civil trial and we can get press passes.
Yes.
Can we do that for a civil trial?
I would love to have a dateline on this. Keith Morrison. Taking it very seriously.
Keith Morrison being like, and that's when things got a little crazy.
That's right. The guacamole bowl. You guessed it.
You guessed it.
Right in the guacamole bowl.
That pesky DNA. We do have some more news stories. I don't know if anything is going to beat Taco Bell orgy.
These are two classic stories.
Look, Los Angeles was popping.
We were popping off. I did see both of these stories. Well, the one is from today, but I saw the Taco Bell one and I think I bookmarked it because I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
This one's good.
I've had it saved in my tabs since before we left for Thanksgiving. Wait.
I do see that Riley posted a picture on Small World. I didn't see the picture. I'm trying to find the guy. I really don't like how they put the Little Mermaid.
What Little Mermaid?
You know when they add like new characters in Small World?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
well, because it's too new.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not the original design.
We don't want the Little Mermaid gang in Hawaii or whatever, the island area. I don't see the guy, though. Anyway, what's next?
Our next story is from the Daily Beast, and it's about our favorite person in Congress, George Santos.
Yay!
Now, we recently talked about George Santos at length on our most recent after show. And what did I say on that episode, Desi? What did I say? I said, in a perfect world, George Santos would go scorched earth.
And he's going scorched earth.
It seems like we're getting the beginnings of George Santos going scorched earth.
Yes.
This article says, Rep. George Santos, facing likely expulsion from Congress, launched an expletive-ridden tirade in a live stream on Friday night, accusing his House colleagues of casting votes hungover, cheating on their spouses, and of being hypocrites.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
But he's starting to go off on people. He hasn't named names.
We need names, George.
Please.
Please, come on the pod.
You can be name a hero.
Names. Name names, George.
He's invited on the podcast anytime
Absolutely.
He wants.
He can lie all he wants.
The three-hour-long rant came after the House Ethics Committee Chairman Michael Guest introduced a resolution to expel Santos that many of his former allies have promised to support. Guest introduced the resolution following the committee's months-long investigation into the congressman, which found that he used campaign funds to pay for Botox, personal travel, and even pornography. Because remember, he had
OnlyFans.
He spent some money on OnlyFans, and then he pretended, he says, I don't even know what OnlyFans is.
No. What? OnlyFans?
He acted like he'd never heard of that before. Santos singled out Guest in the live stream, saying that the chairman should, quote, be a man and stop being a pussy and call the damn motion.
Whoa.
Now, this live stream was on Twitter.
Imagine if George Santos called you a pussy. I would, like, lose it.
But he had harsh words for all of his colleagues on both sides of
the
aisle.
Damn, I'm sorry I missed it.
It was a 3-hour live stream. Mm.
I like when he's mad. Remember when he was mad at that baby or whatever? The people chasing him with that baby? And he was like yelling at people.
Why did he have a baby?
No one knows still. We just let that story go.
What? Why was he holding a baby?
I like that George Santos running through Congress with a baby and no one followed up on that.
When he found out whose child that was.
Remember, they're like, is that your baby? He's like, it might be.
Yeah.
Not, maybe one day. We don't know.
He was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But he had harsh words for his colleagues on both sides of the aisle,
oh,
whom he accused of, quote, acting like they're in ivory towers with white pointy hats and they're untouchable.
Ivory towers with white pointy hats? What is that?
Like the Pope?
I've never heard it said quite that way. White pointy hats.
Within the ranks of the United States Congress, there's felons galore. Mm. There's people with all sorts of shiesty backgrounds, ooh, he said. The embittered Republican added that some of his colleagues are, quote, more worried about getting drunk every night with the next lobbyist that they're going to screw.
Ooh.
Bitch, name names.
Name the names.
Look, George, we know this. We know this.
But it's funny when we have a name
attached.
But
we need names.
Yeah.
We want names, and we want you to go down in a ball of flames and take everyone down with you.
Why are they trying to get rid of him now? Didn't he retire?
No, he didn't retire. He said he wouldn't be seeking re-election.
I see. But so he still has like a year left?
Something like that.
Okay. I feel like he's been in office for like 10 years.
I know. It's like been like a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But time, like so many things happen now.
Yeah, of course.
So
they basically want him out early.
Yeah, but I hope he spills more tea.
He needs to not ever leave.
I'm not running for re-election because I don't want to work with a bunch of hypocrites. It's gross.
It's gross.
I just love the idea of him getting like super moral and ethical right now.
Well, because, yeah, he's the hugest liar. So why would he give a shit? I also love that it's gross.
It's gross.
It's so gross. Okay, Gossip Girl.
The Ethics Committee's report released last week found Santos had lied about his education and incurred multiple... You gasp as if that was...
Not his education.
That's not even the weirdest thing you lied about.
It's just funny because we've known this already for like the whole year and now they're getting rid of him.
Well, that was what was so crazy about when all of these stories came out because... And I heard like the Democrat that was... Like the Democratic representative or whatever, hopeful that was running against him, make some kind of explanation for why they didn't do oppo research on him. And I forget what his explanation was because, frankly, it was like not good enough for me.
Right.
But it is crazy that all of this information that we all found out about George Santos being a liar was like just Googleable.
Right. But not only that, once we did know it, none of the Republicans were trying to get rid of him. Until now?
No.
Yeah.
I think he's going to say stuff.
I think they're scared of him.
Remember Madison Cawthorn?
Oh, yeah.
Remember what happened to him?
He got thrown out, too.
He got thrown out, and then they posted that picture of him, like, getting fucked or whatever.
Oh, right. Doing something.
He was doing something horny. And yes. This article continues that the Ethics Committee report suggested he failed to properly disclose the $800,000 in personal loans he reported making to his campaign to the Federal Election Commission and improperly reimbursed himself with donor money for loans that he did not make. It also cites the 23 charges filed against Santos in federal court last month, to which he has pleaded not guilty. The evidence uncovered by the investigative subcommittee revealed that Representative George Santos cannot be trusted.
Oh. He cannot be trusted.
And nearly, I love that, yeah, this is their conclusion after we've all known this for like a year.
Also, they're all pieces of shit who can't be trusted. Like, seriously, they are hypocrites. George is right. But he needs to name names, though. What's he holding back for?
He needs to really just like get it out there. Go off, George.
We should taunt him.
At nearly...
Like, I bet you'll never say names.
What if George Santos got into beef with the Hollywood Crime Scene podcast?
Ooh, I would love it.
That would be such an achievement.
I think he would fall for taunting. You're such a wimp. Can't even name names.
I think he should
pussy.
Be bold.
Yeah.
And just do it.
He'd be like, I will name names. I think you could trick. I could think he reverse psychology would work on him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So.
Or maybe I bet he would just like to be invited on a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he might be flattered if we were like, come on the pod.
Come on the podcast. We support you. We're not going to vote for you, but we support your antics.
We support the antics. At nearly every opportunity, he placed his desire for private gain above his duty to uphold the Constitution. Wow, where have I seen that before? Guest resolution is the third attempt to oust Santos from Congress, starting with a Democrat-led expulsion vote in May.
Embarrassing.
Santos survived the attempt and a second one brought by New York Republicans earlier this month, but several representatives who voted against those resolutions recently signaled that they had changed their minds.
Oh.
Who said this?
We need to go after them.
Rep. Robert Garcia of California confirmed during the live stream that the House planned to vote on the expulsion shortly after the Thanksgiving break and urged Santos to resign, saying, George, we're going to expel you. But the New York congressman remained defiant. They want to kick me out of a job that they didn't put me in. I'm not leaving, come hell or high water. It's done when I say it's done.
Ooh.
However, he admitted that things didn't look good for him. I know I'm going to get expelled when this expulsion resolution goes to the floor. I've done the math over and over, and it doesn't really look good. And then today, I don't know if you saw his tweet, but I loved it. He said, God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle.
Ooh. That's some... You only say that when you're truly psychotic.
Look, I
said... That's always, like, the people who, like, say that are always, like, just some awful reality show contestant or
honestly,
whatever.
Honestly, Desi, I was going to say that was really good advice I said to myself in my first year of sobriety, so thank you.
I mean, it's not that people don't say it who are normal.
He created all of this for himself.
Yeah.
So it's been a joy to watch this play out. It is, like... Crazy.
It's sad that it's almost over.
We don't know. Like I said on Patreon, we are expecting more from him.
Well, at least his congressional.
His congressional career might be over, but the reality career, the tell-all book career, that might remain. That might happen.
He did the math.
Congress isn't looking good.
I wonder if he said, if it's because he said he wasn't running again. They're like, okay, let's just get him out. Because they might have been like,
why now?
I wonder if he didn't say anything, because maybe they're like, we want to keep that seat, right? Because they have a very slim majority, and I think that's why they haven't gotten rid of him previously.
They wanted to keep the seat.
Right, and I do think typically that's a seat that was a Democrat seat.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like, oh, we don't want to lose that sort of one we don't normally get. Or maybe it's a back and forth, but...
I don't know.
But yeah.
We'll see. We'll keep you posted on the George Santos tip.
That would have been my childhood congressperson.
He was in your
former district. He's my
former district.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I know. It's so exciting. So close.
What a mess.
Such a mess. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all our news stories. We'll be back.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm the queen of starting a free trial offer and forgetting to cancel it, oftentimes being charged for months for something I'm not even using. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes, but let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. It's definitely saved me money, and now I can use that money to waste on things I do want. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've had a really stressful year with work and family stuff, and I know I'm not alone when I say I tend to push that stress down in order to get what I need done, and that only makes things worse. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. In the past, therapy has helped me navigate many situations, from helping me to set boundaries to just becoming the best version of myself. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I love that it's entirely online, so it's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HCS today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HCS.
Desi, are you watching anything great this week?
You know what I did finally watch was the Twin Flames documentary on Netflix. Absolutely wild stuff.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No.
You got to watch it.
Really?
It's really good.
I'm like still documentaried out.
I also felt that way, but I did finally sit down and watch it, and I blew right through 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it because it's
sure
like,
it's good.
It's a story I really didn't know anything about. And it's very interesting.
Is it like
cult-y? One I've never seen before.
Really?
It is culty, but in a online dating kind of way.
Yeah.
I just have never seen a story like this before. There are elements of it that just go way beyond what I ever thought it would when I started watching it, because I had no idea what this thing was
at
all.
Maybe it's good that I don't know anything about it.
Maybe, because I didn't know anything. So yeah. For me, I was like, oh, I didn't see it going in this direction.
Right.
At all. Like, it really gets out of control. And I think it's still going on. Like, they don't have charges against them or anything.
Yeah.
But one thing I did realize was a woman in the documentary who broke the case follows me on Twitter. So
what?
I was like, we should get her on the show because I think she's a crime reporter or something.
Wow.
So, I mean, she might follow you too. I have no idea.
Maybe.
Or maybe our show. I just noticed, I was like, oh, I think I've seen her before. So I was kind of like, ooh, because I really am interested in this case now.
Yeah.
It's very,
I'll look into it.
It's very interesting. So I did watch that. I was obviously away for Thanksgiving, and I started watching this show with my nieces that they like. It's called Impractical Jokers.
What, Desi?
It was really funny, though. They go out into the world, like they'll work in a restaurant or just be in public, and they have to do everything the person tells them to do. So one of the episodes that really made me laugh was in this sort of grocery store, they went up to a woman and he had to say to her, "Did you fart?" Sorry. So it's like that kind of stuff. Like they have to say these really embarrassing things to people. I was laughing so hard at some of this stuff. I mean, some of it's really bad and not funny. I would fast forward because I was like, oh, this is like a bit. I liked when they would just kind of say really embarrassing things to people that were out of pocket.
This does not seem like the kind of show you would like.
Maybe it was thanks. You know how
you
watch
high,
show?
Desi.
I was high, but it was there's some of the episodes or some of the moments were very funny. I have to say, and it was fun watching it with my nieces while we were high. They're adults, by the way. it was surprisingly funny. It's older too, so it's like really you would not be able to get away with a lot of things they did today because this is from like 2010 maybe. Or some of the episodes we watched. So that was something I watched. It was very stupid.
This seems like the kind of thing you could only watch during Thanksgiving or during like some kind of vacation.
Yes. It was like, well, you know, when you're with a large group of people, it's like you have to find something everyone will watch.
Yeah.
So it's definitely sometimes not funny at all. But I like the moments where it was more organic.
Right.
It was very funny sometimes though.
No, I was in a hotel, so I was doing like hotel TV.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how when you're in a hotel, you watch stuff that you just do not watch normally?
That's the only time I ever watched the Kardashians was in a hotel.
For me, my hotel show is Shark Tank.
Oh.
I always watch Shark Tank at a hotel or Bar Rescue.
Oh.
But sometimes, and this is what I did this time, I'll watch the local, whatever the local channel is.
Yeah.
So there was this like local Temple University channel and it was this cooking show that was like one of the most low budget cooking shows I've ever seen in my life. And it was like a husband and a wife, and the husband was British, but both of them were wearing these like chef's jackets, but it looked like they were like in Heaven's Gate or something.
Ooh.
Like they were purple and kind of futuristic looking, but that wasn't like on purpose. I don't know. They picked those out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But they looked like cult members cooking.
Ooh.
And the British guy was showing this woman how to make an English pudding, like a Christmas pudding.
Ooh.
And it looked so disgusting. And he was using like healthy ingredients.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know what he was making because like he was really soft spoken. He's like, and then it's going to feel like wet sand. And we're just going to push it between your feet. I'm like, what is he making? Yeah. What is he making? And then the result was like, this domed.
Yeah.
You know, those like boiled domed puddings.
And they're smooth.
It was so, it was so smooth. And I'm sure it tasted fine. And it looked like the end result looked like a traditional English pudding.
Yeah.
But watching him make it was revolting.
Mm. Yeah.
And then she made a dessert. And I gotta say, this lady really phoned it in for her dessert.
What'd she do? Like a Cool Whip fold?
Desi? It wasn't Cool Whip only because both of these people were like very
healthy.
Health food.
Yeah. Okay.
So what she made was she made a huge bowl of whipped cream and then she folded in fresh raspberries and fresh blueberries and that was it. And she put them in little like champagne coupes and was like, but they were like really ugly champagne.
It's like a fool. They call it a fool, right?
Is that what a fool
is? I think so. It's some kind of like whipped cream with fruit, but maybe there's a cake element.
Literally just bowls of whipped cream and berries.
Wow.
And that was...
That's not a recipe.
I said, that's not a recipe. I'm really offended right now. Yeah. And then I just kept this channel on because it was like very hypnotic, but I had it on while I was like getting ready to leave the house that day or the hotel that day. So yeah, we watched that. The other thing I was thinking about as I was watching Bones last night, because that's like my falling asleep show, because I got home late last night. I really want to do an episode about like TV versus reality forensic shows.
Oh, yeah.
I had thought about doing it before with like Criminal Mind and like Criminal Minds and like the starting of the BAU and like profiling.
Right. I think we talked about this with John Douglas, like too, like.
Yeah. Like it would be interesting. But then I was like, I'm also interested in like for the other forensic sciences, like the forensic anthropology and whatever, like fingerprint, like crime scene investigation.
I think an interesting thing would be like, what do they make up on those shows just to get the story?
Well, they make up a lot.
Right.
And there is a phenomenon that I do know about called the CSI effect.
Yes.
In which people who are like affected by crimes and there's like an investigation going on, right, where they expect that the investigators are able to do a lot more technologically than is actually realistic.
Right. So they're like, we need hard evidence. Like they always expect that perfect piece of forensic evidence to prove everything.
Or they expect that things are technologically possible that just aren't. Like, yeah. Can you enhance that picture? No, they only can enhance right. that blurry, that no, that picture is just blurry.
No, I think that's an interesting, because I wonder what I think I know at all.
I think
going
I think I know a lot about forensics because of all the TV I watch.
I think I know about it too. My issue with being on a jury and why I should never be on a jury is I am very vibe based because I would go in and be like, they're definitely guilty. Or innocent. I'm like, I don't see it. Like,
don't give Desi jury duty.
I mean, that's why I've never been on a jury, probably.
Because when they're doing the voir dire,
right.
They get to Desi and she's like, I don't know.
The one time I almost got on a jury before the case got canceled, because I think the person pled guilty before we went in. But I was already like in a beef with the guy who clearly wanted to be the head juror, the foreman. And I was like, I should run because he's just like, I'll do it. I was like, no, I don't think so. You want it too bad.
Did you want to be the foreman?
No, but that's why I think I should have been the foreman, because I don't think the person who wants it should get it.
It's kind of like politicians.
Right. If you want to be president, it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
You think you can be president? I want the person who doesn't think they can be president. No, it was like he was such a, I was like, I'm already going to have an issue with this guy. Because he's like clearly like, I'm the leader. Mm. I was like, no. And then the guy was like pled guilty. I was like, okay, fine.
I got a jury summons over like maybe sometime last year. But the case was like dismissed or they didn't call me in.
Yeah, I've never been on a jury. That was the closest I got.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even on the jury yet. He like settled before we even started questioning. But I was like already like, I don't know. I'm going to be honest. And that's going to get me kicked off right away.
I mean, it is interesting. I have always been fascinated because there are like with a show like Bones, for example, I know it is based on the life of a real forensic anthropologist.
Right.
And it's also based on her books, her fiction books that she's written.
Oh, okay.
So she's like a scientist and an author. And she produces the show. So I would assume that she would want to include like actual real science in the show.
Right.
But there are so many instances when I'm watching and I'm like, can they do that? Like, can you figure right. that out?
Well, at some point you have to make the show interesting.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's not things every week. Do you know what I mean? In her job even. It's like...
Well, no, not even just that there's so many different weird murders. I just mean like the science behind it where it's like they're able to figure out like, oh, this blade comes from a...
Right, but that's what I mean. On the show, you can't do like the same techniques all the time, which is probably what they do. They want to have a new, exciting technique that matches up with the murder.
Like they were murdered by a cheese grater.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see. Yeah, it's like that's not going to happen in real life all the time. They're going to have a lot of the same things or right. similar things. But in the show, just like House, they always want to make it super interesting and specific.
Yeah.
So the science has to match what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they don't want to always be like, well, the fingerprints again or whatever, like forensic, whatever. They're going to want to make it cool, things we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Every week.
I'm just always fascinated by like how much of the science is real.
What's her professional obligation as someone in the field too?
Well, we know, and we've touched on this before, that she's probably, as a forensic anthropologist, is probably not going into the field. And on the show, they have her like interrogating witnesses.
Right. So she must agree going into the show that they're going to use things dramatic or do things for dramatic purposes.
I'm sure she knows.
She can't be like, that's not how it's done.
It's a highly fictionalized
instance.
And the same thing with Criminal Minds, how those are like the eggheads behind the scene. They're not like running into someone's house with guns,
looking for the missing child or whatever.
They're not in the field.
Even when they do a hostage situation, it's like, that's a specific job.
Yeah, that's a hostage negotiator.
Yeah, you might inform them of things, but you're not on the scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you have Hotch from like a remote location.
No, they do all the parts. They do all the parts of the job.
And that's like part of why it's called the CSI effect, is because like someone's loved one who they just want answers for why their loved one was murdered. And they're like, well, can't you just like lift the DNA off this thing that like, you can't.
Yeah. Where's that chick in the room?
Oh, the goth girl.
No. What's her name?
The Penelope. Garcia.
Oh. I thought her name was Penelope, but I was like, wait, is it that an actress's name or her name? No, her name is Kristen or something.
Yeah.
No, where's Penelope?
Right.
Just have her pull it up.
Well, Penelope in Criminal Minds, she has like a magic computer where she's like, they'll be like, Penelope, look for anybody that was bad at soccer as a child and also had an abusive father. And then she's like, coming right up. And she has like
they've been in jail 4 times and they also were a soccer player as a kid. It's like, how? That's not online information. Here's a picture of him winning a trophy in the local newspaper. It's like, what?
She literally will have like, there's 10 in the metropolitan area, and it's like a list of like 10 different people,
but only one of them has like the third sort of Venn diagram circle.
yes They're like, ooh, this guy loves Eddie Vedder, he's the killer.
It's so, I was like, I'm really good at Googling, and I was like, I couldn't. Like, her searches are insane.
But she has, like, access to, and she, cause
I know,
she has access to all these insane databases. But the databases that she has access to, even someone in her, like, with her clearance or whatever, she's, like, breaking all sorts of HIPAA violations or whatever.
So right.
She's, like, has all these insane medical
They're in therapy. It's like,
Look for
couples counseling.
Look for people who are currently in couples counseling who also bought lube in the past week.
And they collect butterflies. We have receipts. No, those searches are insane, but I do love them.
I fucking love them.
It's like, that's the device that helps us wrap it up.
Yes.
At some point we need her to come in and be like, let's just wrap this episode up. Find the person.
No, there's episode of Bones I just watched where somebody was stuck in a giant bar of chocolate.
Ooh.
Well, they were dead, but they had been encased in like a giant bar of chocolate.
That's actually happened. Remember someone fell in the Hershey's tank?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was in a bar.
No, this person was like encased in a bar of chocolate.
Okay, that sounds funny. I mean, for the show. Not in real life. I would not laugh at someone in a bar of chocolate. That's an insane way to die, though.
Yeah.
To be in a bar of chocolate. And I just picture him. He's like, with his hands up. Kind of like Han. Remember Han's in that ice or
Han
something?
Solo?
Yeah.
He's in that...
Carbon?
The carbon.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, but chocolate.
But this was just their bones.
Oh.
This wasn't like the full body. It was like just their remains.
Bones.
Just the remains were in the chocolate bar.
Got it.
But it was like a life-size chocolate bar.
That's funny.
Yeah.
See, that's where they're using some dramatic license.
Yeah, definitely. Did I watch anything else good this week? That's really it besides 90 Day Fiancé. 90 Day Fiancé the other way. It's wrapping up. We're going to have a tell-all soon, which I'm excited. Get these fucking freaks this season off my screen. I'm sick of it.
You're sick of it?
These freaks... on the current season of The Other Way. I've had it.
Okay.
There's this one couple, Brandon and Mary, and I was telling Ali and Melissa that they're not even enjoyable to watch because they're genuinely just they're so their storyline is so dark.
Oh.
It's so dark, Desi. Mm. She's psychotic. And like I feel like she might do something dangerous.
Oh.
Like we're going to see her on Dateline.
Is she the American or the...
No, she's from the Philippines.
Okay.
And he's moving... He moved to the Philippines.
Okay.
And he's got his own... Brandon, he has his own issues.
Well, yeah.
First, he spells his name B-R-A-N-D-A-N. Brandan.
What?
He's got issues.
That's not how it goes.
This is not a healthy relationship. She's pregnant. They just got married. The wedding was this past week. And at the wedding, they were hit with a plague of locusts. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
They had, like, this huge swarm of, like, tropical beetles that descended upon their wedding.
That still happens? That's a sign.
It is a sign.
Oh, my God.
But their storyline's not even enjoyable. It's so dark.
Okay, I need to see it now.
It's so dark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm also watching the same reality. Housewives of Potomac, Salt Lake, Beverly Hills, Southern Charm. I'm still trying to watch Summer House, but I fall asleep. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
We can't.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, guys. I tried. But yeah, Potomac's good. I was laughing because me and Kara are obsessed with one of the taglines. I actually was like, I should rank all of the housewife taglines, but I was like, there's probably like 300.
Yeah.
That would be an impossible task.
Because they also change them every season.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like 300 total. Like if you take all the seasons and all the series. But this one, she says, I don't ride the fence. You ride I'm the fence and you ride me. It just doesn't even make sense, but it's so fucking hilarious. Then in this episode this past week, in the show, she said basically that. And I was like, they were like, that's your tagline. Because she said that in the show. And I was like, that's where they got the tagline. They like loved it so much. It doesn't make any sense, by the way, obviously.
Right.
But it's so fucking funny because she says it so seriously.
Right.
But I was like, it's one of those moments where you're saying something and you're going somewhere, but then you don't know where you're going and you just finish it.
Yeah.
And as long as you're confident selling it, it's very funny.
Oh my God.
So I'm obsessed. And I was like, I said to Kara, I was like, that's one of the top five. I don't remember them all, but I know this one's it's up there because it's so dumb.
I like the ones that don't make sense.
Oh, especially if it's like a totally deranged character, like Sonia Morgan or something. She has a good one too. I can't remember what it was, but it was something vaguely sexual as well. And you're like, no, they're the best ones. Because when they're too well-written, it's like, who cares?
No, I like the stupid ones.
I like the stupid ones where you know they're like, I thought of this.
Right.
And I feel like Karen's, well, it is because she said it in the show.
Right.
And she was like, that's my tagline. That's what she didn't say that, but I know she was like, that's it.
So they didn't break the fourth wall.
No, but when she said it, it was like the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the movie for me. I was like, oh my God, it's the tagline. That's where it came from. She actually said it in the show, like, which is, I think, is rare.
Yeah.
So I love Potomac. It's so good. And I did start rewatching. I started plugging through Miami again. I'm trying to get to the good seasons because I need to know who, I need to get on board with the Larsa Pippen outrage. So I need to know how we get there.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, to get to that point where I can be like, oh, girl, like, what are you doing? And then what else? There's nothing else I'm watching. No, I'm sorry. Just the same old.
Eat anything good this Thanksgiving?
Well, yes, we did.
Yeah.
I mean, we ate a lot.
We both ate. We actually went out to dinner before we started recording tonight.
Yeah, that was good. That bread is so good.
It's so good.
I thought the dinner was good.
It was good.
I mean, that's a good place. Good. I'm kind of thirsty. I feel like I'm not hydrated enough.
I'm definitely not hydrated after
you
all
know
the
when you travel,
sodium I ate. Yeah, I'm disgusting.
You get so dehydrated.
I was on a plane.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I always feel like when I go away, I get super dehydrated. I don't know why.
Should I talk about the hoagie?
Oh, yeah.
So my mom dared to post in the Hoagie Guru's Facebook page last week, and I was so scared for her.
Me too.
I was like, Mom, These guys are mean.
I think they're nicer to women, I have to say.
They were relatively nice to her.
I do think that they go harder on guys.
Yeah. It's like a dick measuring contest yes. with them. But they were like pretty cordial to my mom because she was like asking for recommendations. She said where she always goes to get her hoagie.
Mm.
And she likes the, like, and I do agree with what one commenter said that like my mom's choice hoagie is not really a true hoagie.
Okay.
Because it's a great sandwich, yes. but it's a little too gourmet, in my opinion,
yeah.
to be a true hoagie. My mom likes this, the De Bruno's
yeah.
Italian market. It's a great sandwich.
Yeah.
I got a sandwich from there myself.
Yeah.
While I was in Philly this past week. But they listed a bunch of other places in like the center city area of Philly where I was. And one place that was recommended several times in that thread was Ricci's.
Okay.
I had never been there before. So I, on my last day, I had realized that I hadn't gotten a hoagie. And I was really stressed out about it because mm-hmm. I had like only a few hours left in Philly. And I Postmates'd a hoagie. I Postmates'd a hoagie from Ricci's to my grandma's apartment. And it was really good.
Oh.
It was very good. I got the Italian.
Of course.
What
does that sound? Oh, it's your chair.
Is it my chair?
Yeah, it's going. I was like, Jesus. Show some decorum.
It was a good hoagie.
Good.
So those guys were right.
Mm. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. They were fucking right. The other place I almost went to that they kept recommending was Angelo's.
There was also something like Minucci's Market or something. There was like five of them. It's something with an M. I might be saying it wrong.
I also asked my cousin Will while I was in, because I was at Thanksgiving with him, and I was like, Will, where's the best hoagie places? And he listed a bunch, but they were like not in Center City.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, when I have more time next time, I'll go to those okay. places. But he recommended this other place that kind of was closer called like P&S Ravioli Company.
Oh, and that sounds amazing.
Brendan and I agree. We're like, I have a feeling that place is like excellent.
Because it's like, what the hell's a ravioli company?
And who's P&S?
The name is just out of control.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It is. And Will was like, now there's like a couple different P&S's, but only one has the hoagies. And I got really overwhelmed.
I like that only one has the hoagies because you know it's a good hoagie. Then, yeah. If only one.
He was like, well, or maybe it wasn't that. He was like, one isn't an actual store. It's like their fucking business office or whatever. Right, right, right. Like you can't, like, it was just like a
you
little.
You can't get food there.
It was just like a little difficult, but we both agreed that like.
Next time.
We love the name.
Yeah. It sounds great. I've been thinking about hoagies. For sure.
Yeah.
Always.
It was just nice to like be in the capital of hoagies of America and actually get a really good one.
Mm. I got soul food too when I was up north.
From where?
You don't know soul food?
Oh, the restaurant food. I thought you just meant like the food.
No. The restaurant. There's one in San Rafael, but there's also one in Petaluma.
I remember when they built soul food. I remember when it opened.
It's
that was
good.
Like the most hyped restaurant.
I've been getting that forever.
You don't understand. When soul food came on the scene, like, I don't know, like right as I was like leaving, right as I was leaving town, going to LA, people were like shitting their pants over soul food. There yeah. would be like lines every single day out the block.
Oh my God. No, I've been getting it since it opened too. Because I remember good. When it opened, I was like, oh, there's this really good whatever.
Is it Cuban? I think it's Cuban.
It's kind of Cuban, yeah. Maybe it's Caribbean, but I think it's Cuban.
It's Cuban.
And I was like, ooh. And I remember like then it became this thing we got every time.
Yeah, it's it's good. It's a classic.
It's very good. I'm excited. My niece is going to Enceladas for her birthday. It's kind of a throwback choice.
Throwback,
and
yeah.
I'm like, ooh, nice. Enceladas.
Wow.
Or Marinitas. But, you know.
Either or.
Have you gone to Marinitas?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, with my mom. Because my mom likes to
Those go are all there the with classic her, San
with
Anselmo.
Her girlfriends.
Get margaritas.
They get margaritas with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
No, but I did go to Dante and Luigi's for my grandma's 101st birthday.
Nice.
And that's like a classic childhood classic Italian joint.
Yeah.
And it's like a very old restaurant. It's, I don't know, it's like 100 years old.
It sounds old.
It's very old. And it's like, I did have ravioli there.
You got to be an old restaurant to name it Dante and Luigi's.
It's so good.
Because it's like, who you can't get away with that these days.
Because who's Dante and who's Luigi?
You need to know.
You need, yeah. Those were two guys at one point.
You can't just pick those names.
No, it's got to be two guys.
Like, what if I opened up a restaurant? I was like, let's name it Mario's. Or like whatever.
Well,
it would be a presumably.
Well, presumably, you name it after someone you know.
Yeah, but I can't just pick an Italian name. Well,
I don't think that's what they did.
That's what I mean. You know, it's authentic because no one could get away with that.
But I don't think anyone's doing that, does he? I don't think people are pulling the wool over.
You don't think? You don't someone's like. Because they want to sound authentic.
You can't do that anymore. You can't just
you
pick
can't
a
just
name.
Pick a name.
I don't think anyone's ever just have they?
I bet you people have like, let's open an Italian restaurant. We'll call it Luigi's.
I don't think people do that. I would
if
like
you
to know
someone who has done that.
I would like to know if it is.
Because I like to know who's Luigi.
I
want to see a picture of them. When you walk in the restaurant and it looks from like a sepia tone.
Yes. Or you get like a life story in the back of the menu.
Yes.
Those are my favorite restaurants is when there's like the, it starts in 1911, my Nona, and you get this whole fucking novel.
Yes. Yes. I love a history of the restaurant. But we were talking about that where these, I have to find those menus in the valley of the places who are in a feud.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got to find that. I keep forgetting to look that up. anyway, I'm getting sleepy.
So yeah, D&L's, it's a classic in Philly. I highly recommend it if you want like an old school red sauce Italian joint. It's a family
favorite.
What'd
you get? Meatballs?
No, I got raviolis with Italian gravy.
Mm.
That's what it says. Cheese ravioli with Italian gravy. And I got their special salad, which I've been getting since I was a little child. And that is a Italian salad. It has olives. It has like gabagool, provolone cheese.
Love that kind of salad.
Some peppers, red wine vinegar, and oil.
Yeah.
It is a classic Italian salad.
I love that salad.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And a sliced hard-boiled egg, like a little half.
Oh.
You just get one half
just
of it.
Just
throw it on there.
Yeah. I love it. You could picture... In the kitchen, there's that little metal bin of hard-boiled eggs. Like the salad stuff is all in a little area.
Yeah, with like real crisp. It might even be at like
they keep it cold too, right?
It is a cold salad.
I like when my salad comes out on a frozen plate.
Yeah. Though this is a great salad. Yeah. It's so good. And the meat and the cheese is like in a little rosette.
Oh, so pretty.
Do you want to see a picture of it?
Of course.
I need you to see a picture of the salad.
No, I know this salad.
It's one of my favorite salads ever.
It's very East Coast Italian salad, for sure.
I think this was maybe like the only vegetable I ate during my trip, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Look at this salad.
Ooh, that is pretty. Yeah, it's glistening.
It's a good salad.
It's glistening with all that oil.
And look, this was my dessert. I got a cheesecake. It was a rigotte cheesecake.
Rigotte. Ooh, look at I love when they put the little chocolate squiggle
on the bottom.
That's class.
For decoration.
Yes.
They gave me a maraschino cherry.
They have it in that little squeeze bottle and they do it in the back.
Look at that plate.
It's fine china. Look at the whipped cream. A little fucking cherry.
It was delicious.
I like ricotta cheesecake.
It was a ricotta cheesecake.
I can't say rigotte.
A rigotte.
It's like, it doesn't sound as good to me.
Well, isn't that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, but it doesn't. I don't like it.
It was a ricotta cheesecake. And then this is a picture of my hoagie.
I saw that.
It was a great hoagie.
That seems like a nice meat ratio.
It was perfect. And the lettuce was sliced real thin, and it had some, it was a spicy Italian, so it had a little spice to it.
I like a little spice.
Bread had a nice chew.
Mm. Did it have a hinge?
It had the hinge. It's not a hoagie if it doesn't have the hinge.
Of course. You have to tell me twice.
Anyway, we're going to record Bitch Slap tomorrow because it is an extra long episode. So that's why we didn't record it tonight.
And we'll have the
main
part two
sometime.
It'll be soon.
It's coming up.
And we have a mysteries too. That'll come the very last day of the month.
And that's for our $10 Patreon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.